أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله الذي أحسن كل شيء خلقه وبدأ خلق الإنسان من طين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة العالمين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في سبيله حتى أتاه اليقين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم peace be upon him is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to stray, there is none to guide aright. يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم ووصف القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فيأتيني الكثير من الناس للكونسلنج في المسجد عندهم مشاكل في الزواج ويتكلمون في الطلاق وإلى آخره ومشاكل الأولاد فيعني ألاحظ إنه يعني حالات الكونسلنج بالنسبة للطلاق هي في ازدياد فإن شاء الله في هذه الخطبة نتكلم عن مفهوم الزواج في الإسلام والخطبة القادمة في شهر أكتوبر إن شاء الله نتكلم عن المفروض الزواج الناجح على ما يقوم هذا الزواج ثم بعد ذلك نتكلم عن الأسباب التي تؤدي إلى خلاف الزواج أو إلى الطلاق حتى نتفادى هذا الموضوع وحتى نبني أسرا يعني صالحة So I do a lot of counseling, marriage counseling and divorce counseling and so on and so forth. And as I said before, all the problems come to my office, Imam al-Mashakil. So I have to deal with a lot of issues related to marriage and divorce and kids and so on and so forth. So people always come to me and I've seen a rise in the number of these counselings and people coming for divorce. So this is why I see the need to give some khutbas about what it means to be married, the significance and the importance of marriage in Islam, and what it takes to have a successful marriage. Then we'll talk, inshallah, in the month of October about why families collapse and why marriages happen in the Muslim community. So in order for us to avoid these problems and to start healthy families, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So today, inshallah, we'll focus on the importance and the significance of marriage, or I should call it the blessing of marriage in Islam. طبعا هبدأ القصة من البداية. معروف إن آدم عليه السلام كان في الجنة وكان معه الملائكة الطعام موجود، الجو معتدل ممتاز، لا يرون فيها شمسا ولا زمهريرة، كل الأمور كانت ممتازة بالنسبة لآدم عليه السلام. ولكنه كما ورد في صحيح مسلم استوحش، ما كانش مبسوط، ما كانش مرتاح، فخلق الله له حواء. So I'm going to start the story from the beginning. We know the story of Adam alayhi salam, which is mentioned repeatedly in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah and other places. And the story is also mentioned in the Bible for those who, because I know some are here for observation, non-Muslims will come for observation during Jummah. So the story is there. Adam alayhi salam was in Jannah, in the garden, and he was surrounded by malaika all the time. And the free food, the weather was nice, he didn't have to deal with 30 minus in the winter like Edmonton, and he didn't have to deal with the hot summer, and he didn't have to deal with mosquitoes, he didn't have to pay taxes, he didn't have to deal with sickness, nothing of that sort. It's a perfect life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it in the Quran. But Adam alayhi salam, according to an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, istawhash, he was not happy, he was not comfortable. Despite of all these amenities, or despite of all these good things around him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to comfort him, he created Hawa, his wife, for him, from himself. Yes, the angels were there, but he wanted someone of his own kind to be with him, so he can find comfort in her. And as I always say, that some of my evil friends have some good and have some bad. So some of my evil friends, they say that Adam and Eve were the happiest married couple. And the reason is they didn't have any in-laws. He didn't have any in-laws, she didn't have any in-laws. So their life was good. The most important ayah, one of the most important ayat in the Quran that talk about marriage is this ayah, ayah 21 in Surah Rum, Surah number 30 of the Quran, Surah Ar-Rum. The focus of this surah is the ni'amullah, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. And marriage is listed as one of those fantastic, wonderful miracles, signs, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before I talk about this particular ayah in Surah Rum, marriage is a blessing, ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that the surahs of the Quran are connected. So you have to look at the surah before, Surah 29, Surah Al-Ankabut, and the surah after, Surah Luqman. Because these three surahs, together, they give you a perception of what a successful marriage should look like. So if you look at Surah 29, Surah Al-Ankabut, one of the main themes is the marriages that are falling apart. So we see the story of Lut alayhi salam and his wife. She was not a believer. Eventually she was destroyed. We read about the people of Lut, and Allah is telling them, this is not the proper way to start a family. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of surah, the story of Lut alayhi salam in Surah Ankabut, He gives us this metaphor. كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. It says, the example of those who try to find guardians other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a spider spinning a shelter. And the flimsiest or the most flimsy shelter there is the shelter of the spider. It cannot protect them from rain, cannot protect them from the wind, and so on and so forth. Some of the ulama say there is also another way of understanding this ayah. The spider builds a house or a home so it can live with a mate and the kids. And in the animal kingdom, the family of a spider is probably the weakest and the most broken up, messed up families. Why? Because in some species in the spider kingdom, after mating, the wife will eat her husband up. And when the kids grow, they eat their mom up, like the black widow and so on and so forth. There are videos there from National Geographic, and you can look into it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this as an example of a broken family. It cannot survive. Because there is no mawadda and rahma, which is mentioned in the next ayah, Surah Ar-Rum, about what it takes to start a good, successful family. Mawadda and rahma. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُونُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. This ayah, the focus of the talk, from chapter 30 of the Quran, ayah 21. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a broken family in Surah 29. Then He talks about the blessing of marriage in Surah 30. Then he talks about Luqman alayhi salam and how he's taking care of his family, teaching his son in Surah 31, Surah Luqman. So this is the connection, a quick connection between the three surahs. So now, Surah 30, Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about several favors and several blessings and signs of the marvels of his creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. One of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he created you, your father Adam, from dust, and behold, you become human beings spreading over the earth. So this is one of the favors of Allah, the creation of the human race. Another favor, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. Another marvel of Allah's creation is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the diversity of the languages you speak and your colors. This is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because diversity is listed in the surah as one of the favors of Allah. This shows the power of the Creator, that He creates the African, He creates the Asian, He creates the European, He creates the Latinos, and so on and so forth, and the different colors and the different shapes. This diversity shows the artistry or the perfection of the making of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the master creator. He can create different shapes, different forms, different colors. And in the tongues you speak, we come from Adam alayhi salam, one, but you see our different colors here? You don't see it because you're facing me. All you see is black hair. But I see it from here. I see a mosaic. I see a very diverse community. I see people from at least 40, 45 different nationalities represented here. From Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listing this as another favor of His creation. Otherwise, if we all look the same, if we speak the same language, if we eat biryani every day, if we have one culture, this life would be boring. Not that I'm saying that biryani is boring, I love biryani, but if we do everything, it's going to be very routine kind of life, is not good. But our diversity is one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is usually abused by some people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the universe. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ. One of the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the universe, the earth and everything else, they persist by His command. They're systematic. The sun comes out in the east in the morning and sets in the west and so on and so forth. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن يُرْسِلَ الرِّيَاحَ مُبَشِّرَاتٍ. Then He talks about the rain and how it survives the earth and so on and so forth. Then one of the favors, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. One of the great signs, miracles, favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He created for you spouses. So it is listed, the fact that Allah created for you a wife or for the sisters a husband, this is listed as another favor, just like the creation of the universe, the sun and the moon and the stars and so on and so forth. It's a great favor. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so you find comfort in them. So marriage should be a sort of comfort for the husband and the wife. And subhanAllah, look at the wording of the Quran. مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, from your nafs. And this is why I remember a ruling in the Hanafi madhab. I studied Hanafi madhab mainly, but I also studied Shafi'i, Maliki, and Ahmad later. When the Imam was asked, Imam A'zam was asked, can someone give zakat to his wife? He said, no, you don't give zakat to your wife because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your wife is like your nafs. And you don't give zakat to yourself. Allah says, min anfusikum. He gave you a wife from yourself. So you don't give zakat to yourself. You don't take zakat from the right pocket and put it in the left pocket. Because when you get married, you and your wife, you become one. You don't give zakat to yourself. وَهَذَا مِنْ حِكْمَتِهِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. So this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want the marriage to succeed, you have to have two things. Mawaddatan wa rahma. It is difficult to find two words in English to translate mawadda and rahma. So I usually use four English words to translate mawadda and rahma. Love, respect, compassion, and mercy. This is the easiest or the closest meaning in the English language. And for you to achieve compassion and mercy, love and respect in the relationship, Look at the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his marriage to Khadija radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married to Khadija radiallahu anha for many years. And in Bukhari it says, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi mihnati ahli." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. He was the embodiment of mawadda and rahmah. He was in the service of his family. He cared. He had compassion. He had love and mercy, and he cared about his family. He was in the service of his family. He didn't sit around and order people around him, do this, do that, do that. No. The Prophet ﷺ was in the service of his family. He was a member of the family. So when it was time to milk the goat, he will milk the goat. Clean the house, patch his shoes, and so on and so forth. He would take care of the house just like everyone else. He didn't stay outside most of the day. Then when he comes home, he's just on Facebook. No. He was a member of the family. He cared about people. And this is why they loved him so much. كان في مهنتي أهلي. And on the other hand, Khadija radiallahu anha fulfilled her obligation of mawadda and rahma. You also look at this hadith in Bukhari. جاء جبريل عليه السلام إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال تأتيك خديجة radiallahu anha ومعها طعام أو شراب أو كذا فأخبرها أن الله تعالى يسلم عليها وأبلغها مني السلام. وأخبرها أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد أعد لها في الجنة بيتا من قصب لا تعب فيه ولا صخر. So in this beautiful hadith in Bukhari, Jibreel عليه السلام came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, خديجة رضي الله عنها will come to you in a few moments and she has some food with her. When she comes to you, tell her that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is giving her salam from him and from me, Jibreel عليه السلام, and give her the good news of a house in Jannah, a palace in Jannah made of pearls, min qasab, min pearls, and in this house there will be no noise, and there is no shouting, and she will not get tired in this house. And the ulama, in their explanation of this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paying her in kind, because she didn't raise her voice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever, and she never made him tired in the house, or she never asked him to do something beyond his means. Like if he could afford a house for rent, she didn't force him to buy a house on mortgage, for example. If he had a 2-3 bedroom house, she didn't ask for 5 just because her sister had a 5 room house. If he had a $7,000 car, she didn't force him to buy a $30,000 car just like her neighbor. She didn't force him to live beyond their means. And this is why the mawadda and rahma in the house. So mawadda la sakhab fihi wa la ta'ab. She will not get tired in this house, and there will be no noise in the house because she never raised her voice to her husband, or she never fought with him. Right? Because there was mawadda and rahma in the relationship. I remember there was this story. One of the neighbors, he asked his neighbor, you guys always fight. I hear it every night. I like the rhyme. So you fight every night. I hear the screaming and the shouting and the fighting in the house. But last night something strange happened. I heard the fighting, then I heard some noise, like there was a crash. Something fell from the second floor. What happened? Of course, the neighbor is noisy. He shouldn't ask this question. It's none of your business. They should talk to the imam or a counselor, someone to solve the problem. He said, well, the shouting, this is the normal fight that we have. Then the boom, the crash, like something fell from the second floor. She threw my clothes in the street. رَمَتِ الْأَوَاعِ بْتَعْتُ فِي الْشَارِ. فَهِسِنْ SubhanAllah, it seems like a heavy object was there, because the crash, the magnitude of the crash, this does not sound like clothes. She threw your clothes in the street, but the crash was so big, he said, because I was inside the clothes. This is what happened. So Khadija radiallahu anha made the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam easy, and she did not give him a hard time. The easiest way to achieve mawadda and rahma, and always remember these words. Mawadda and rahma means that you love each other, sacrifice to make each other happy, forgive each other. Always keep in your mind that we are human beings. We make mistakes all the time. So if you are not perfect, you don't expect your husband or wife to be perfect. So we have to overlook and forgive. Because you will not find any house in this world that didn't have issues and disagreements and so on and so forth. Even if you read about the Sahaba radwanullah alayhim, they had issues with one another, husband and wife. And even the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the marriage, you see the story of Hafsa رضي الله عنها, they had discussions and they had disagreements and so on and so forth. But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was gracious and he was compassionate and kind, and the issues were resolved. We are human beings. The easiest way to achieve this compassion and mercy, this is the equation, the formula, if you want to achieve mawadda and rahmah in the marriage. If you have a sister, please make sure you treat your wife the same way you like your sister to be treated by your husband, with respect and kindness and grace and dignity. And if the sister's here, if you have a brother, treat your husband the same way you like your own brother to be treated by his wife, with dignity and respect. This is the easiest way to achieve mawadda and rahmah in the relationship. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah from Surah Rum, ayah number 21 from Surah 30, Ar-Rum, if there is no mawadda and rahmah, love, respect, compassion and mercy in the relationship, there is no guarantee from me that the marriage will succeed. If you have mawadda and rahmah, you have my guarantees. So what happens when you don't have mawadda and rahmah in the relationships? You are fighting all the time, disagreements, backbiting. She's calling her family every day to report. He's calling his mom every day to report. And once people come in, for sure the marriage will collapse. Because not everyone comes to counseling with a good intention. Because sometimes brothers and sisters are jealous of each other. I don't have to tell you about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. They were jealous of him, and so on and so forth. And the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Habil and Qabil, everyone knows the stories. Even brothers and sisters are jealous of each other. So when you bring someone into the conflict, maybe they are not coming with good intentions, and they add fuel to the fire to make the situation explosive. Another thing that I always advise people, we'll listen to this in the second khutbah inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us blessed and successful marriages. Ameen. Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu arsalahu rabbuhu rahmatal alameen. So in the last two minutes of the life of the khutbah, before I begin, inshallah, I would like to ask you kindly to move up. People are waiting outside. Move up a little bit, please, inshallah. I will pray in the front so you'll have an extra line here, inshallah. So move up a little bit, please. When you marry someone, this is another reason why people fight in the marriage. When you marry someone, you have to love and respect them, treat them with kindness and respect, along with their families. If you marry a sister, respect her family. If you marry a brother, respect him and his family. And this is why one of the reasons why marriages collapse and fights happen. This brother, after marriage, your dad abused me during engagement. Tahani during the marriage, he's asking for gold, he's asking for this, for that, for that. A bunch of chores, don't go there, don't even talk to them. And the wife will tell her husband, you see, you are giving a lot of money to your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters and so on and so forth. Don't provide for them. So these fights happen because of some reasons like this. When you marry someone, you are marrying an entire family, not just one person, and show respect to them as well as your spouse. So in conclusion, I'm going to conclude with this story. Everyone loves stories. About the lack of mawadda and rahmah. This is one of my favorite stories that I always tell when I go to marry someone off, not me getting married, when I go and marry someone, two people are getting married, so I marry them, I always give them this piece of nasiha, and at the end I tell them this story to show and illustrate the meaning of the lack of mawadda and rahmah. So there was this story, and according to this story it happened in Egypt. I know I see some Egyptians in the room. And one thing you have figured out about Egyptians by now is that we like to joke all the time, Egyptians. I'm not picking on Egyptians or anything, because personally I'm Egyptian too. So we like to joke all the time because there are so many problems in our lives. If we don't joke, we just explode and die. So this is why we like to joke all the time. So there was this story of this man. He's married to this lady. He hates her and her family, and she hates him and his family. So they have a little kid. 5-7 years old. He come one day from school and he said, "Mom, you know, I've been thinking about this question for a long time. Where did we come from?" And she said, "We came from Adam and Eve. We are human beings. Adam and Hawa, we're human beings." So okay. So he ran to his dad in the living room and he said, "Dad, I asked my mom where we came from," and she said, "We came from Adam and Eve. What do you say?" So the father, given the history of the fights with his wife and her family, he said, "Don't listen to your mom. She's teaching you wrong. We came from monkeys." He's a Darwinist. He believes in the theory of evolution, Darwinism. He said, "Don't listen to your mom. She's teaching you wrong." So the kid ran back to his mom in the kitchen and, you know, steam was coming out of his ears. His head was about to explode. He couldn't understand anything. Are we from Adam and Eve or are we monkeys? So he ran back to his mom in the kitchen and said, "I asked you 2 minutes ago where we came from," and he said, "From Adam and Eve, and we are human." And I asked my dad and he said, "We came from monkeys. I don't understand." So the mom said, "Honey, there is no contradiction here. You should not be confused. I was talking about my family and your dad was talking about his family." Right? So I asked Allah, thank you. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us mawadda and rahmah in the relationship, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the marriages successful, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove all the harm from our houses and homes. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So inshallah in October we'll be talking about what it takes to start a good family and what you should look for in the marriage, your expectations, what they should be, and we'll also talk about why families collapse based on the Quran and Sunnah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come, and to give us sincerity in everything we say and do. Wa akhiru salam.